here's the grand truth. While the world insists that power, possessions, popularity, and pleasures of the flesh bring happiness, they do not. They cannot. What they do produce is nothing but a hollow substitute for the blessed and happy state of those who keep the commandments of God. The truth is that it is much more exhausting to seek happiness where you can never find it. However, when you yoke yourself to Jesus Christ and do the spiritual work required to overcome the world, He and He alone does have the power to lift you above the pull of this world.
Beauty of womanhood. You know, I felt compelled to talk about the beauty of womanhood in this episode because really, women are under attack right now. Not only because of the gender dysphoria and trans issue and ideology that's out there. You know, if you listen and watch hearings from Congress and our representatives when it comes to the topic of woman and asking these so-called professionals, you know, what a woman is, they can't answer the question. I don't know if you guys have ever seen these programs. They're on C-SPAN and you can get clips of them on social media, YouTube, etc. It's just absolutely the weirdest thing ever to have them really not be able to answer that question, what a woman is. And I'm not going into any type of political discussion here. It's more a discussion of how being a woman in today's society is, our rights are slowly being taken. The beauty of being a female is being tarnished. I mean, we create life and we carry that life. We nourish that life. We give birth to that life. There's a reason why God has named and given us women that ability. And yet I see the craziest news as of late, and how they're trying to figure out how to, and I think this has actually been going on already, help women or men who have become women and how they can breastfeed to really get them to be able to put output a lot for the child. And all that goes through with the hormone replacement therapy and the amount of hormones that have to flow through his body in order to do this. And at one time, that would have been considered child abuse, to have a man pretend or try to nurse a baby. Did he give birth to this baby? Was the baby adopted? I mean, there's just so many different perspectives and thoughts and considerations that need to be made when we're looking at the big picture, which is the eternal picture. Okay, it's always the eternal picture. Where is this going to get us? Is Christ going to look upon this with a smile and warm affection of approval? Or is he going to say, no, that is not right and this will not be allowed into my kingdom? So that for me is the bar that I measure it by. Okay. We have the trials that we have for our day and time because we all have to have trials and challenges. That's what opposition is for. Because through those trials and challenges, we talk about this often on this podcast, we become like our Savior. We become like our Heavenly Father. We are in that stepping stone process of becoming like our heavenly parents. And this is the second estate, is being here on earth. And we have a wonderful opportunity here to embrace the gender that we've been given, to live out the family proclamation, and to reflect the joy that we are given as women, as daughters of a loving Heavenly Father, that Christ came down and went through everything that he went through, which, by the way, I just heard a detail recently that when he was walking with the cross and the people were lined up on both sides of him and he was bleeding and tired and beaten and bullied and just tortured, they were also pulling hair out from his beard and his hair, his scalp. And this is what people do that don't like the things of Christ. And so Christ went through all of this for us, for every single person here. And that includes us women, the sisters, the daughters of God. There was a talk that was given by an apostle one time where he said that women are akin to Christ here on earth. And when a woman lives up to the stature of her birth and her gender and also her covenants, there's just beauty that reigns in that home with that family, whatever the circumstance may be. Even if they're unmarried, there is just a radiance of glory and peace. And it's very Christ-like that comes from the woman. And we have an opportunity to carry out this glory here on earth by staying true and steadfast to our covenants, our commitment to the Lord, and to his gospel. And this is what he needs. Right now, the children are under attack. I mean, I think the children have always been under attack, but we do see an exponential increase with what's going on in the wickedness and evil in the world today. And so, we also see that amongst the women. Women who are typically defined as being genteel and compassionate and empathetic, all of the characteristics that we need to be a mom. Yet, when I had my first son at the age of 19, almost 20, that's not who I was. But I became that person. The moment my eyes laid on him, the moment that I held him, I became what I needed to be for that child. And I'm grateful to Heavenly Father that he blessed me to be able to do that, because I was not somebody who enjoyed my pregnancy. I was young. I was sick every day. I did not want to have a baby yet, and I was scared. And yet we're given this great gift, and I can look back now at that time and see the perfect blessings and miracles that God's given me because of my health issues and situations with my female anatomy. If I had waited any longer, I wouldn't have been able to have kids. Now, I would have liked to have done it in a better situation where I was married and sealed to my husband and had children, but that was not the way that I did it. And there's reasons for that. So if you're a longtime listener to my podcast, you know. And if you're new, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cover that in another episode. But I just was a very strange duck due to some prior trigger warning, sexual abuse in my home. So when I was growing up, but that really did play a role into my relationships. Like, I did not date or go out really with anybody through school. I had no desire to. And then after high school, I just moved way too quickly with my son's father and did not use any type of sense at all. I just ran with it and didn't know any better. And of course, you know, we can say that it was a naivete and being young, but the fact of the matter was is that my brain was really traumatized and I was off kilter and I was a little bit weird, and that really played into the decisions that I had made and the things and the choices that I had pursued in my life at that time. So getting back to topic here is that, you know, women are here to fulfill a role, and it's just as important as the role of a man, but it's not equal. And it brings me back to that talk about how we wouldn't want things to be fair here. And forgive me because I read a lot and I can't always remember the names and who gave that talk and when, but it was one of our general authorities that talked about how we would not want life to be fair, because if life was fair, we would never make it back home. We wouldn't have the atonement, and we would be held to every little misdeed, transgression, and sin that we made or committed. The purpose of men and women is obvious. We were here and commanded to multiply and replenish the earth. There is no way to fulfill the plan of salvation and happiness without obtaining a body. And so Lucifer has been very cunning in his way of, you know, attacking the plan, attacking women in general. You know, there's a large population of women here in the United States who are pro-choice and support abortion. But there was, I was listening to an episode from Midnight Mormons recently, and I really enjoy their podcast because I enjoy their sense of humor and the way that they deliver on important topics that we're dealing with right now in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they had mentioned in there to support abortion, to be a pro-choice person, is going directly against the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So can you be an upstanding member if you support termination and pro-choice? And of course, I've thought about this before. It's an interesting topic. I do not believe that you can, but I know that the church is very understanding about certain situations and they'll take them case by case. We have events and circumstances where a woman's life might be in danger, and you know, we want to make sure that we save the woman's life. Again, the situation is, they're all different and yet the same. And so we have to rely on Heavenly Father, and I'm hoping that by then, when these choices need to be made, that we have enough of a foundation built in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is Christ's church and his doctrine, to make the right choice. Okay? But if we don't, there is a path back to redemption and repentance. And that is what the atonement offers us from Jesus Christ, is it's infinite. But God teaches clearly that he will not be mocked. So when we talk about the value of women and the role that we play in the plan of salvation, we could not have children if women were not here. We are the ones that were charged with that very important and precious opportunity to watch over God's children, to raise them, to rear them the best that we can, to instill in them good morals and values. And you know, in the latter days, it talks about some of the prophecies were that we will be a bit apathetic in the latter days. And, you know, I've seen that. I've seen that in the church. I've seen it out of the church. And I've seen it in myself from time to time, and try to make sure that I make that correction, because apathy is just like twiddling your thumbs. We can be guilty by just sitting there and not doing anything, not saying anything, not sticking up for the one that's lost, or maybe the weakest among us. And so the importance of women in the plan of salvation is not just creation, although that is magnificent. I mean, really think about it. You are allowed an opportunity to create within your body a child of God and carry that child, spend time with that child, nourish that child. And when that child is born, that child believes that he or she is still part of your body. I read a research paper recently that the baby says dada first because the baby still believes that they are part of the mom. And so they don't have to identify the mom separately from itself, but that they do see the dad as being a separate person from the two of them. And I thought that was very fascinating. Whether or not that is true, I'm not sure, but it does explain some things. And that relationship between the baby and the mom is so important. And, you know, the wife's role, the mother's role in the home, being able to maintain a certain vibe and atmosphere in the house that is going to be nourishing for the children, for the marriage, for the family unit. And oftentimes the wife will spearhead that. I do see in the younger generation a more equality between the two of the husband and wife doing that and working together. But these are traits that the women have been born with and that we have been charged with. And we have wonderful opportunities here to fulfill those missions and goals and opportunities that the Lord has assigned us to and with, is to do this. So that is why it is so important that we stand up for our gender. We are women, we are girls, we are females, and we are important in this world, in the plan of salvation. To change that is going to corrupt the perfect plan of salvation and also the gift of the body that we've been given, to maintain the gift of the body as a temple. That this has been given to us by a loving and perfect and omniscient Heavenly Father. And what are we going to do to it? We're going to mutilate it? Are we going to change it? What are we going to do to it? Or are we going to preserve it, take care of it, nourish it, mind, spirit, and body? What choices are we going to make, and who do we choose to serve? Who do we choose to follow? Who is important to us, and how do we reflect that in the way that we act, behave, our body language, the way that we dress, and the things that we do and that we choose to participate in? Recently, I was involved in a live on TikTok, and it was a faith discussion with different faiths, and they were talking about women and kind of the assault on women that's going on nowadays, from sports to the home, also to jobs. I mean, anything that you can think about, there's just something weird going on with women in general. And we need to make sure that we stand up for the proclamation, the plan of salvation, and the purity of being a woman and a man. And this is the opportunity that we're given at this time in these latter days, when Lucifer is running rampant and he is just unleashed every weapon that he has in his arsenal. And he's looking to pervert and change and really do depraved things to God's children. And we need to remain steadfast in the things that we know to be true. I think another key to this is, you know, as we go out and we search for the one that is lost, the prodigal son or daughter, us women, we need to stand up for each other and be there for one another and encourage each other in doing things that would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And part of that is standing up for the weakest among us, and that is our children that are still in the womb, our children that are looking to us to watch over and care for them. A lot of women nowadays do not see them carrying a child within themselves in their womb as being a living, breathing human being. They see it as other. And I constantly hear this, like that cisgender term for the trans community that was created in the 90s by a post-grad in a university to make trans people feel more included. And so cisgender was created so that people who are heterosexual, our identity is built around their community so that they would not feel other. So there was a talk given, I think it was by Dallin H. Oakes, where he talks about accepting and being very careful about being too open, too welcoming, too tolerant of things that go directly against the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And because we could find ourselves in a precarious position where we are supporting things that we wouldn't necessarily support. So, for example, the term pro-choice to a lot of people means different things. And if you were to ask somebody or a woman in the church, you know, why they're pro-choice, they may not totally understand what pro-choice means and how far that umbrella goes as far as it covers. Because we have debated in this country abortion up to full term and after the baby is born. Are we going to support that? Are we going to support decisions made because women are using this horrible, horrible procedure as birth control? Because they do not see the baby as anything more than a clump of cells in a fetus. And they see it separate from their body. So it's like this foreign alien that they can just eject and get rid of. And that is an evil spirit. The rationalization that can go on within ourselves and our mind and hearts in order to do the things that we think will bless us the best and the most, once you start to rationalize, that's always a red flag. Typically, that's always a red flag because you're rationalizing doing something that is good and virtuous and valiant. The children need us to stand up for them, not only in, yes, I just recently posted about seeing the sound of freedom on my TikTok and Instagram and the attack on children in trafficking, but also the attack on children in the womb. And if you go back and do the research on Planned Parenthood and who opened that, you'll find some connections there that I think you would be surprised, maybe not so surprised. But let's see what the church has to say about this and what our leaders encourage us to do. Again, there is a small percentage of very unique situations and circumstances where abortion would be okay or approved. But that's a very small percentage. The majority of pregnancies would be okay to carry to term and give birth. And we need to protect these babies. It comes from the women. It comes from us. And I am talking as somebody who had two unplanned pregnancies. I was told I couldn't get pregnant because of what happened to me when I was younger. And yet, like I said, as I'm older now, I understand that if I had not had those babies at 19 and 21, I would not have had children at all because of some severe endometriosis that I developed in my early 20s and finally had to have a hysterectomy in my early 30s. So if I did not have those children, I would have never experienced motherhood. And at that time, I would have said, I don't want kids and I don't want to experience motherhood. But now that I'm 50 years old, I'm glad that I had those children. I'm glad that I've become a mom, which has also made me a grandmother. So we have to be careful of what we wish for. We have to be careful of what we think we want or need. And that's why revelation and turning to the Lord is so important. So what does the church say about abortion? We're going to cover that next. I have found several sites, including the church website, to refer to the church's stance on abortion, but also to find what our leaders are telling us. So that includes the prophet, apostles, any other general authorities that are set apart to minister to the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There is a great webpage at MormonWomenStand.com that really spells all this out. I didn't mean to jump on this particular topic. It just kind of went in that direction. And I'm following the Spirit here, so bear with me. But I am getting an overall sense and impression that's very strong. That's very much so supported by what our leaders are telling us and what the church's policy is on this particular topic. That we need to stand for life and be the heroes for those babies that cannot stand for themselves. So the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is firmly and openly against abortion. They have been very clear about this from the get-go. It is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ and continues to stand against this assault on the defenseless. The church has not changed that whatsoever. They are consistently opposed to the practice of abortion. More than a century ago, the First Presidency wrote, "We again take this opportunity of warning the Latter-day Saints against those practices of feticide and infanticide. This issue has always been important to the church. As President Russell M. Nelson states, as Latter-day Saints, we should stand up for choice, the right choice, not simply for choice as a method. Human life is a sacred gift from God, and we have been assigned as women and females to carry that wonderful mission and to be able to experience everything that goes along with that, to become like our Heavenly Father and Mother. Elective abortion for personal or social convenience is contrary to the will and the commandments of God. It always has been, and it always will be. Church members who submit to perform, encourage, pay for, or arrange for such abortions may lose their membership in the church. So in today's society, abortion has become a common practice defended by very deceptive arguments, and the church's policy and stance has not changed. And we as members can be held accountable for that as well if we participate in any type of abortion. Latter-day prophets have denounced abortion, referring to the Lord's declaration in Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 6, "Thou shalt not kill nor do anything like unto it." And their counsel on this matter is clear. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And this is what I love about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that his church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, backs us up, supports it, and continues to live this, because this is Christ's church. This is the type of standard that I want to be a part of, and I hope you do too. The Lord God, he needs us. He needs those that are willing to separate themselves from the world and stand up for all that is righteous, virtuous, and valiant. And that includes the women. Please remember that our Savior's teaching, as he placed a little child before his followers and declared, "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." That's Matthew 18, 5 through 6, and that is powerful. Basically, you should go drown yourself versus offending or hurting one of his innocent children. And you know, it's so sad. It's just so sad that we live during a time, and I'm sure this hasn't been the only dispensation on earth, where Christ has to tell us something that should be so common sense, that should be something that should be part of our desire to stand up for and to defend. I don't understand how the world can twist this into something that makes it okay to kill the babies, to take away and snuff out the life of these children that haven't even seen the light of day yet. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the First Presidency says, "I cannot speak for the welfare of children without implications for the choices being made by citizens, public officials, and workers in private organizations. We are all under the Savior's command to love and care for each other, and especially for the weak and defenseless. Children are highly vulnerable, and they have little or no power to protect or provide for themselves, and little influence on so much that is vital to their well-being. Children need others to speak for them, and they need decision makers who put their well-being ahead of selfish adult interests." End quote. This is so true. Children need us, and they need our humility. They need our willingness to serve them and care for them above our own needs, wants, and desires. Ask yourself, why would Heavenly Father give us an opportunity to take care of a human being that completely relies on us for everything? It may be that He wants us to have these experiences, that He wants us to grow and to become like Him through having these experiences. There is a knowledge and lesson that happens as you grow and have children. You watch over them and care for them, that you provide for them. And it helps us to become more. It helps us to become more than just ourselves. Heaven's not going to be filled with a bunch of selfish people who only think about themselves. Heaven's going to be filled with people who serve and who love to serve, who look beyond themselves, put themselves aside, and put themselves out there for their fellow brothers and sisters, people in their local community, within their sphere of influence. And think about the pleasure and joy that a child brings to you and the family. Think about the laughter and what it does to your heart and your mind and your spirit to see them use their little minds and figure things out and do some of the most creative, unexpected things that you had ever seen, and just have it just be so special. I mean, it just tickles me pink to see some of the things that my grandson does and how his mind works. It's just so fascinating. This new generation, they call them Generation Alpha. They are something. I gotta tell you, they are coming out of the womb just absolutely strong. And if they are not healthy, they're able to overcome, and they are tall, and they are thirsty for everything that the world has to offer. So what world are we going to show them? What world are we going to introduce to them? And this matters. Prophets and apostles have consistently spoken boldly against abortion. So I just make it clear that this is not going to be something that's ever going to be okay. And abortion and taking the life of a baby is just not ever going to be the choice that we need to make as women. We are charged with this very special and important responsibility. It's a opportunity of so much joy and happiness and learning, and it's bittersweet too. My heart is filled when I spend time with the children. What if we didn't have children? That innocence that they bring into life, the quick trust that they give to those that they encounter, the love that they give freely, the joy, the happiness that they just give freely. President Russell M. Nelson says this about abortion: "This war called abortion is a war on the defenseless and the voiceless, and it is a war on the unborn. Man-made rules have now legalized that which has been forbidden by God from the dawn of time, and human reasoning has twisted and transformed absolute truth into soundbite slogans that promote a practice that is consummately wrong." all of our leaders have had something to say pretty much about abortion to make it very clear. And this goes back to many wonderful prophets that we've had. But I wanted to share another quote by Delaney Chokes, who is a wonderful apostle of the Lord. But I got to tell you, I love hearing him talk. His faith is so, it's like a rock. It's like that sturdy stick or kickstand. And I know that I can always count on him. He says the ultimate act of destruction is to take a life. And that is why abortion is such a serious sin. Our attitude toward abortion is not based on revealed knowledge of when mortal life begins for legal purposes. It is fixed by our knowledge that according to an eternal plan, all of the spirit children of God must come to this earth for a glorious purpose. And that individual identity began long before conception and will continue for all the eternities to come. We rely on the prophets of God who have told us that while there may be rare exceptions, the practice of elective abortion is fundamentally contrary to the Lord's injunction, thou shalt not kill nor do anything like unto it. And I agree. I agree. And I'm so grateful for their fierce defense of life and for our babies that need to have protection. And what are we as women going to choose to be as part of the story? And we look back on it. Elder Oakes goes on to say, I've been fascinated with how cleverly those who sought and now defend legalized abortion on demand have moved the issue away from a debate on the moral, ethical, and medical pros and cons of legal restrictions on abortion and focused the debate on the slogan or issue of choice. See, very cunning. He goes on to say the slogan or soundbite pro-choice has had an almost magical effect in justifying abortion and in neutralizing opposition to it. Pro-choice slogans have been particularly seductive to Latter-day Saints because we know that moral agency, which can be described as the power of choice, is a fundamental necessity in the gospel plan. And Latter-day Saints follow the teachings of the prophets. So on this subject, our prophetic guidance is clear. The Lord commanded, thou shalt not kill, nor do anything like unto it. And the church opposes elective abortion for personal or social convenience. There are times when people will feel that they need to have an abortion. And I really do encourage you to follow the counsel of our leaders. Go speak with your bishop. Speak with your stake president. Go talk to the one that you trust the most and feel the most comfortable with. They will give you wonderful, good guidance, and please pray and fast about these decisions. You need the guidance of the Lord desperately. I do too. We all do. And we want to fight for not just any choice, but the right choice. And I am so grateful to Elder Oakes, who always, always speaks truth. I want to remind you that this gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of repentance and forgiveness. And even in this topic, repentance and forgiveness is given because of the infinite atonement given to us by our loving Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves all. And as you study out the atonement, you will understand that the atonement goes beyond this life. And if you are sincerely, sincerely repentant and want to seek forgiveness and move on, you can. That is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is always there for us, even in our sin, because we're always going to be sinful on this earth. He knows, he understands, and he is always there. I wanted to share a story with you. It's a personal story. A long time ago, a friend of a friend, she was raped, and she did not see her assailant. Trigger warning, this is a tough subject, and I'm going to share this because it ties into the topic, and also what we're talking about, the beauty of womanhood, the chance that we have to be, and the opportunities that we're given to be like Jesus Christ, and to stand up for those who need us to stand up for them the most. And, you know, she was given the option, an opportunity to abort the baby, but she did not. And she chose to have the baby and carry the baby to term. And he was born a healthy baby boy. He came out and he was black. This was shocking and surprising to her because she is of Caucasian and mixed South American heritage and ethnicity. And she did not, again, see her attacker. So this was a shock to everybody. But it did not change the fact that this beautiful girl, she was a girl at the time that this happened, in her young teenage years, chose to make this choice to have the baby to protect his life and hers, and to look beyond how the situation was that he came to be. And I'm sure that she struggled in ways that I don't even know, in the moments of just personal solace and just being alone and dealing with the situation. There's things that I could never understand, as I have not walked in her shoes. But I always admired her because she made this choice. I admire people who are the underdogs that make the tough choice because it's the right choice. It's the choice that helps us to choose the right. I'm not saying this with the effectiveness that I'm hoping to bring this across, but it's the choice that Christ would want us to make. And that oftentimes takes bravery and courage. Fast forward, he graduated from high school, very, very loving, decent, funny, well-rounded kid. She did an amazing job being a single mom, raising him. And he did graduate from college, and he's in his 30s now, and he is living his life. And he is a wonderful addition to his family, to the local community there. And it's been just an awesome pleasure to be able to witness this as somebody from the outside. That and my own personal trials and challenges and hardships have taught me that a lot of good can come out of a lot of bad. And we already know that good never comes from bad choices. It just does not happen, right? But when bad things happen, when we make, you know what, let me take that back. I believe that even bad choices can bring about good because we learn from that, and that's why we're here. So that is a mistake. I know that God consecrates the hard in our lives for our good, and that when we choose to be faithful and push forward, even though we may be afraid or anxious or unsure, because we don't know the details, we don't know how everything's going to pan out, He is always there for us, and He understands. And this is the wonderful beauty of the relationship between us and our Heavenly Father and our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Lastly, I wanted to share a snippet from a talk that President James E. Faust gave in a general conference, and he shared a message from Mother Teresa. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know who Mother Teresa is, please Google her. She was, for a very long time, the person that was referred to, who did a lot of humanitarian and philanthropy work for the world. And she was just someone who was very much looked up to and honestly likened to Christ, because she did so much for so many people. And he says, sharing this message from Mother Teresa, that cut to the very heart and soul of the moral issues affecting our day. She stated that the greatest proof of the selfishness is abortion. It was reported that Mother Teresa had tied abortion to growing violence and murder in the streets by saying, "If we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill each other?" Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. And then President Faust concluded in that talk, "What consummate spiritual courage this remarkable aged woman demonstrated, how the devil must have been offended Her remarkable declaration, however, was not generally picked up by the press or the editorial writers. Perhaps they felt more comfortable being politically or socially correct. After all, they can justify their stance by asserting that everyone does it or that it is legal. Fortunately, the scriptures and the message of the prophets cannot be so revised. And that is something that I count on, is that the truth is the truth and it will always be the truth and it is eternal. I want to leave you with this, my last and final testimony about this topic. We are blessed to have this opportunity to be a woman, to be a part of this plan of salvation. It is a beautiful, beautiful calling, and we are given many missions and responsibilities that are going to make us more. We have come here to fulfill the measure of our creation and to return home with honor. Will we be the unsung heroes for these defenseless babies? Are you willing to step up to the plate of responsibility and honestly reward if you find yourself in a situation where you are pregnant? I don't know many people who honestly plan pregnancies. I know they've tried, and I know some people who have wanted to make things planned and organized, but most of the time it's a shock and it's unexpected. And we need to remember that God knows best. He knows better than we do what our needs are and when we should have children. And thankfully, we can rely on Him who knows all, who's omniscient, perfect knowledge, perfect love, perfect in miracles and blessings, that He will guide us as we courageously step up and deliver life into this world and take care of these sweet children that have been given to us in our charge for our loving Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, who has given us all. I am grateful for this knowledge, and I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Allow me to leave you with these thoughts from a family proclamation to the world. This is not just to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is to everyone who lives on the earth. All human beings, male and female, are created in the image of God. Each is a beloved spirit, son or daughter of heavenly parents, and as such, each has a divine nature and destiny. Gender is an essential characteristic of individual premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. We declare that God's commandment for His children to multiply and replenish the earth remains in force, and we further declare that God has commanded that the sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between man and woman, lawfully wedded as husband and wife. You see, we're given this wonderful opportunity to partake in all of these special blessings and miracles that are part of the plan of salvation. God loves us enough to be able to give us these experiences so that we may have joy. Please remember to be kind to everyone you meet, for they're fighting a hard battle. Things are hard for everyone. And please stay safe, stay healthy, and most importantly, stay faithful. And until next time, much love, God bless, and aloha.